request, or perhaps better said, a direct order to get off of my cloud. That was Mick and Keith and Ron and the Rolling Stones on your radio, friend. It is 14 minutes until 11 o'clock. And if you beautiful humans have not gotten Rich Cohn's book on the Rolling Stones, we had him on Community Conversations a couple of weeks ago. It's The Sun and the Moon and the Rolling Stones. First of all, check out the interview on the archives at WRJN.com. But if you love the rock and roll music, if you love the Rolling Stones, it is getting rave reviews. People are saying it is the classic book on the experience of the Rolling Stones. Speaking of great books, he is the author of Analog Advice in a Digital World. It is time to get over the hump with coach, speaker, marketer extraordinaire, and author Rick Jones. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Glenn.
Where are you this morning?
I am actually in Charleston, South Carolina, at my home today. Getting ready to take a couple of weeks off, though, going to Europe.
You're taking a couple of weeks off?
I am. I learned that if I don't get out of the country, people can find me.
how are we going to get all over the hump without you for a couple of weeks?
You'll just have to figure out a way to get over the hump or not get over the hump.
We'll figure it out. As I always say, flexibility is the key word in broadcasting.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Do you love the rock and roll music?
You know, there's a great Chris Yearwood song called The Song Remembers When. That's a song about you're riding down the road and you hear a song and it immediately takes you right back where you were.
Yes.
And that's what rock music does. You just remember where you were, who you were with, what was going on. And it just brings back, you know, you're just flooded with so many, I think, in some cases great memories, in some cases maybe not so great memories.
Well, before the great Tom Carco's news, I had a great idea. I felt it was great. Speaking of great, we saw the protest yesterday in Albuquerque at the Donald Trump rally. It got pretty ugly, pretty violent. Now, we know that the Republican National Convention is going to be in Cleveland this summer. So there's going to be massive protests. So here's my concept. You get the protesters, you get the GOP delegates, and you get all the hookers, because they're going to be there too, of course, and you take them all on a tour of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And they realize at that moment that they've got more in common than they have separating themselves.
You know, this convention could be as ugly as Chicago was in 68. I mean, it could get ugly.
My dad's cousin was a cop in the middle of those riots in Chicago. And it was not pretty.
No. But I like your idea. I mean, who doesn't like rock and roll? Let's all think about we all like rock and roll. Let's all go to the museum and sing Kumbaya and get along. But I'm afraid that while you have a great plan, it probably is not going to happen.
You're probably right, sir. Of course, Bernie said it's the Democrat convention in Philadelphia that's going to be messy.
Well, I think it will be messy, but it will be a different kind of messy if you get my drift. I just don't think you'll have the massive kinds of protest and the ugliness that I think can come from various sectors that will, I think, occur in Cleveland.
Well, you're going out of the country for a time period. Are you going to be back by the conventions?
I'm going to be back on, I'm back on, I'm just back gone 12 days. So I'm back on June the 8th.
Where are you going? Where are you guys going?
We're going on a sailboat, the Le Prenant, out of Nice, France, that will travel to seven islands in the Med, Corsica, Alba, Elba, Corsica, Sardinia, Malta, Sicily, a few others. So it should be a lot of fun. This is a boat we had been on a couple of years ago in the Windward Islands. Only has accommodates 54 people and great food. Just a neat little sailboat, and so we're very excited. I can't wait to get there.
How important do you think is taking downtime for people who want to be successful?
I think it's critical. I had a boss named Chuck Jarvie who I talk about in my book in a couple of places. He had been the CEO of Dr. Pepper, of Fidelity, of Schenley, an amazing guy, Cornell graduate. He said, you got to take 4 a year. you got to take one a quarter. If you're a high achiever that really gets after it, you got to get away from it. Recharge the batteries. Remember Vince Lombardi had that great line about fatigue makes cowards of us all. I think, you know, mental fatigue, business fatigue, makes cowards of us all. So I try to get away, and when I get away, I get away. I don't take my phone. I don't take anything. My wife takes hers in case something, you know, a family emergency or something. But I leave a message to my staff that says, I'm on vacation. Deal with it. And then to the outside world, I leave one that says, for any problems, get to Brittany Schiller, who works for me. She'll deal with it.
Well, maybe if we need help getting over the hump on the radio, I'll call Brittany.
Yeah, you call Brittany. She's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, we love getting over the hump during these segments with Rick Jones, the author of Analog Advice in a Digital World, a baby boomer's words of wisdom for the millennial generation. And it's exactly what it says. It's 52 chapters, about a page long each. You as a baby boomer gives them to your millennial, suggests that they read one chapter a week like we do on the radio, meditate on the wisdom contained therein, then they have that great week of contemplating what Rick has written, and then after a year, oh my God, they've got a book written, read. And this chapter today is entitled, chapter 22 is entitled, Show Me a Good Loser, and I'll Show You a Loser. I'm not saying to be a horse's ass. You should always be gracious in defeat, but that doesn't mean you have to like it. Competitive spirit leads to greatness. Those who want to be the best and those who want to win more than their competitors are on the path to becoming champions. But wishing alone doesn't make you into a winner. Coach Knight said that it's not enough to have the will to win, but rather you need the will to prepare to win. Few people have the strength of will to put in the long, hard hours of practice and preparation that lead to success. Those who do learn from the sting of defeat know how to prepare for and ensure a different outcome for the next time. They may not be good losers, but they are the very best kind of losers, the kind that expects to win the next round. Who are some of the great competitors that you admire?
Oh, boy, there's been so many. I was describing a guy the other day that's a friend of mine. You'll laugh at this description, and I won't tell you who it is, but it's a friend of mine. I described him as Joe Frazier in a Muhammad Ali world. but I did have great admiration for Joe Frazier, who was the most relentless boxer I ever knew. You know, he'd take probably 9 blows to land one blow. An amazing competitor. Michael Jordan is the best competitor I think I ever saw. He never mailed it in. He was just a guy that felt like he owed the fan. It may be the only time you brought your son or daughter to see him play, and while it might have been a meaningless game late in the season where they've already qualified for the playoffs and it had, you know, no meaning at all, he just played hard. Just an amazing competitor. You know, in the horse racing world, do you notice that every year Bob Baffert has a horse or more than one horse in the Derby? Every year, he's a very, very, very competitive guy. Sport that it's getting a horse ready to be competitive, but he's very competitive himself, and I have a great admiration for him. Nick Saban, college, you know, football coach, very, very, you know, highly competitive guy, really wants to look for ways to get better all the time. So there's just a lot of them. I mean, champions are made because of that competitive spirit. And we see right now in the NBA finals, you know, you've got LeBron James, who I think continues to will his team to greatness. On the other hand, you got two guys in Oklahoma City that say this may be our only chance, you know, and Durant and Westbrook, and then you've got the great Golden State team that won more games than the other team in the history of the NBA that's on the brink of elimination. They will not go quietly in the night. They will compete.
You talk about Michael Jordan, and now Steph Curry has been favorably compared to Michael Jordan. Of course, as you mentioned, the Golden State Warriors now hold the record that the Bulls had previously held with Michael Jordan, but the fact that they're down 3-1 to Oklahoma City just demonstrates how hard it is to compete at that level and to stay consistent with it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that nobody's ever really mentioned enough about the Bulls was the ability to maintain that level of greatness. You know, once you get to the mountaintop, there's a tendency for every human to say, hey, I'm going to enjoy it up here. I'm going to get a little fat and happy. I'm going to back off. And so for the Bulls to have gone on the lengthy run that they did was pretty amazing. The thing about Jordan was, though, everybody remembers what a great offensive player he was. Heck, he was the best defensive player in the league. I mean, he just shut you down. And Steph Curry's a great player, but he's not the defensive player Michael Jordan was. I mean, Michael Jordan just humiliated you defensively sometimes, just embarrassed you. And that was that great competitive spirit that he had.
The former manager of the Chicago Cubs, and of course he managed the Brooklyn Dodgers when Jackie Robinson broke through the color barrier, the New York Giants, Leo DeRocher famously said, nice guys finish last. What is your take on that, given the competitive spirit that's necessary to succeed?
Well, I think what he was saying was that you've got to try to maintain your edge, and you've got to, high achievers find an edge in some way. You know, Draymond Green is a lot like Jordan. Jordan trash-talked everybody. I mean, that was just part of his – he got in your head. Draymond Green is the same kind of player out in Golden State who trash-talks and gets in your head. That's how he finds his edge. You remember when Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods, he just didn't talk to anybody. He was just in a zone. I mean, he was completely oblivious to fans, to marshals, to competitors. He was that's how he got his edge. So I think everybody has to find whatever is their own edge. I'm a grinder. Any success that I have had in life is because I'm a grinder. I just am relentless about writing down my to-do list and doing it. That is kind of my competitive edge. Does that make me less than a nice guy? Well, maybe. Maybe when I'm in the zone and somebody walks in and wants to say something and I tune them out, then I can be a little rude too at that point. But I try not to be. But I don't think DeRocher meant you had to be a bad guy. He just meant you have to find your edge.
Another great grinder that I know, one of the greatest grinders, is my brother Jimmy Klein, who lives in Highland Park, just about 45 minutes south here of the radio station. And he found himself in a pickup basketball game in Highland Park, because that's where Michael Jordan used to live, with Michael Jordan. Wow. Jordan had already retired, and he was just playing with a bunch of, you know, Jewish guys from Highland Park, probably. and Jordan was trash talking these guys. He had to win everything. But we've got a perfect example now, back with the Cubs, of a guy who is a very nice, decent person in Joe Maddon, but highly competitive. And I think it's the best way, in my humble radio talk show host opinion, to be a decent and a good person and yet encompass those competitive elements so that you can win in life.
Well, I know this. You know, great societies, great civilizations were built by achievers. And you know, when we no longer achieve at a high level, then we see the demise of our civilization, of our freedoms, of lots of things. I like to think that the soldiers that are protecting our country right now are very high achievers, that they are people that will get the mission done. I feel that way about so many other business leaders, political leaders, community leaders. I want people that perform at a very, very high level and try to find that. And again, that does not mean, as I said in my thing, you don't have to be a horse's behind to be that way. But you don't have to like getting beat. And the day you like getting beat, now we're in trouble.
Do you remember the movie Moneyball with Brad Pitt?
Oh, yeah.
And he plays Billy Bean, the now famous and really legendary general manager of the Oakland Athletics, and they literally turn around the Oakland A's baseball franchise through taking a different approach. And it's not going very well at first. And it comes out in the movie that Billy Bean says he hates losing more than he likes winning. How important is it to hate losing?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that. I did a 10-hour sponsorship sales workshop yesterday for 12 Charleston area charities to try to help them be more successful at selling sponsorships to their charitable endeavors and the events that raise money for their charities. And that was one of the questions I posed to the group. I said, are you the kind of person that loves to win more than you hate to lose? I hate to lose. I still can remember what I call the ones that got away. It still bothers me to this day, much more than I enjoy the wins. I have to fight that by trying to create celebrations. So I force myself, when I have some successful things happen, to celebrate those because it's not in my DNA. I'm a guy that... I remember, this is a great thing about Bob Knight. We quote Bob Knight in this article. One of the things that people have forgotten is that Knight went undefeated in 1975 with a team that may have been better than the 76 team that won the national championship and went undefeated. So he goes undefeated in 75. They beat Kentucky like 30 points in the regular season. And then Scott May, a great player for Indiana, breaks his arm. They probably should not have brought him back and played. But anyway, they lose a one-point game in the regional finals to Kentucky. So they go the entire season undefeated and lose before they get to the Final Four. Then Knight comes back the following year, runs the table, wins every game in the regular season, wins the NCAA tournament. When they stuck the microphone in his face as he's won his first national championship and gone undefeated, the first thing he said was, it should have been two. Now that's competitive spirit.
He's got the competitive spirit. He is author Rick Jones of the book Analog Advice in a Digital World. And you met another very competitive and very successful person recently, my dad, Bob Klein. And Marv Levy, the NFL Hall of Fame head coach of the Buffalo Bills, was not only my dad's camp counselor in Eagle River, Wisconsin, but also coached my dad in football. And at the time called my dad the greatest competitor he'd ever met. Marv Levy said that about Bob.
Well, that's high praise from a guy like Marv Levy. And you know what, Glenn, you made the point about can you be really have high-level competitive spirit and still be a good human being? Marv Levy. Nobody was more competitive than Marv Levy and got more out of guys. And yet, what a tremendous human being.
Yes. A true Renaissance man.
No question. And yeah, I feel that way about the time I spent with your dad. I mean, your dad has so many varied interests. And again, I think people that have big interests, what I call big, bold interests, A, they're more interesting, and B, they turn out to be, I think, more successful.
He's hugely competitive at his gin games now, I can tell you that.
No, good for him. That's the way it ought to be. Show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser.
He is Rick Jones. We'll have a wonderful trip. We're overtime now. We're in overtime on the Getting Over the Hump with Rick Jones segment, but we're not going to have you for a couple of weeks. And safe travels, and we'll talk to you when you get back in country.
That'd be great. Thanks, pal. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
After WRJN covers the world, we will have your Hump Day Hour of Power, where we acknowledge that knowledge is power.
IG on Clinton, Egypt Air Recovery. I'm Chaz Henry. A State Department audit has faulted Hillary Clinton and previous secretaries of state for poorly managing email and cybersecurity risks. Correspondent Bob Costantini tells us that's the